Open your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. I shall ask that you begin to read with me in verse number 1, and we'll read through verse 11 and use a portion of verse 10 and 11 for our text verses. Would you stand out of love and respect for God's Word as we begin to read in verse number 1? The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your net for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now I want you to notice here in verse number 3, Jesus entered into Simon's boat and said, Would you thrust off a little from the shore? And after he had sat in the boat and talked to the people, he said to Simon, Now launch out into the deep for a draught. And after they'd gotten the draught of fish, the great haul of fish to shore, Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they, Simon Peter, James and John, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want to speak tonight on the subject, a call to discipleship. A call to discipleship. Heavenly Father, help me tonight as I bring this message. Prepare our hearts to become your disciples. Help us to learn and grow as your children, that truly we may be followers of thee, living by your principles, practicing your will for our lives. Now, I need your help tonight. I thank you for this wonderful crowd who's come out on Wednesday night to sing and hear the word of God preached and taught. Help me to bring a message that would encourage, instruct, and inspire them. And Lord, even convict those that are not living to please thee. Would you do your work in our heart? And Lord, as we conclude the service tonight with prayer time, would you, Lord, bless those that we made mention of and provide for them their needs and that we have mentioned. Heal their bodies and help them in their day of difficulty and need of prayer. Now, Lord, I need you tonight, and I'll give you thanks in advance for what you shall do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, please do not understand or misunderstand the title that I've given to the message tonight, A Call to Discipleship. I did not say a call to apostleship. So many times we get the two mixed up. May I remind you that there are only 17 people in the Bible, the entire Bible, that were called or given the title of an apostle. 12 original men, Matthias, Paul, James the brother of Jesus, Barnabas, and Jesus himself one time was called an apostle. No one since the first century meets the qualifications of an apostle. Anyone standing up to preach or to teach and they say, this is apostle so-and-so, run from them right away because you know they're a heretic. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, that an apostle had to company with them from the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist and had to be with them and see the Lord when he is taken up and was to be a witness of the resurrected Christ. Now, nobody meets that qualification today. So anybody that tells you they're an apostle, they have the title apostle, they're dumber than a rat, dumber than a rock, they're crooks, they're heretics, get away from them. God's not calling people today to be apostles. We don't meet the qualification. God still is calling men to discipleship. Now, there are hundreds of disciples in the Bible. Jesus only called 17 people by name and gave the title apostle. But there are many disciples. The word, and he's still calling men and women and young people to be his disciples. The word disciple means a learner. It means a pupil. One who chooses to yield himself to Jesus Christ and begin to learn and live by the principles of God's word in order to walk in God's will. That's a disciple. Doesn't mean one who has grown to spiritual maturity, but one who has come to that place that they're willing to yield their life to Christ to learn and grow and walk according to the word of God and in the will of God. Now, it is God's will that every Christian become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it is usually from discipleship that the Lord will give more detailed instruction concerning his will and purpose for our lives. Now, I want you to consider with me tonight just a few thoughts from this passage that we've read about the call to discipleship. The first thing I want to point out is found in verse number 1. The call to discipleship is a call to every Christian to learn and live by the word of God. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And it was from this setting that he called out Peter, James, and John to follow him and be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say to you that though it is the word of God, it is taught and carried to others by men and women who are his disciples. God has not chosen to give us instruction by angels. He's called out men and women to take the word of God and tell it to others, whether it be a man and woman as a soul winner, or as it be by a man or woman teaching a class in a Sunday school, or it be a man of God preaching. God uses the human element to carry the gospel to someone else. That's God's plan. As Christians, we're to read the Bible faithfully to be wise. We're to believe it to be safe, and we're to live it to be holy. The Bible is a hammer that breaks man's stubborn will. It's a mirror that reveals our sinful flaws. It's a seed that, when planted in man's heart, produces a harvest of faith. The Bible is a laver of cleansing where we can go, and the Word of God will reveal our sinfulness, so that we can turn to the one who is able by his own shed blood to forgive our sin. You say, how's the Bible a laver? In the wilderness tabernacle, the brazen laver was made of brass and it was highly polished. It was filled with water. And the priest would have to go to that laver and cleanse himself before he went into the holy place or the holy of holies. And as he looked over into that water, it revealed the dirt and the soot and things on him. And it was from the water that he could rinse his hands and cleanse himself in order to go in. And that water in that laver, and that laver is a picture of the Word of God that reveals our sinfulness and makes it possible for us to obtain cleansing through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the call to discipleship is a call to every Christian to learn and to live by the Word of God. Now, some of you are newly saved, and that's wonderful, but God don't want you to stay there as a baby, not understanding, not knowing. He wants you to grow, to know what we believe and why we believe it. He wants you to be able to give an answer to any man that might question you concerning your faith. Why are you a Christian? Why are you a Baptist? Why do you believe this? Why do you believe that? And the answer is not because the preacher said so. The answer is the Bible says. And you're only going to learn and grow as you yield yourself to Him as one of His disciples. Secondly, I want to point out quickly, when the Lord calls a Christian to discipleship, He always chooses a Christian who is busy. Look at verse number 2. And Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now, if you'll just go ahead and read the rest of it, Simon, Peter, James, and John had been fishing all night. Night was the fishing time on the Sea of Galilee. And they had fished all night. They'd had a terrible night fishing. And now it was time to bring the little boats to shore, clean their nets. Hey, learn this. Any man in business does not end the day's work and leave his tools dirty. If you're a mason, you clean your trials, you clean your tools and get them ready for the next day. If you're a carpenter, you get everything put up and ready for the next day. The fisherman didn't just pull his boat to shore and leave the net hanging over the side in the water. He cleaned his nets and got the seaweed and the grass and the twigs that he mended those that were broken, getting ready for the next day. Hey, by the way, there's a good principle. If you're just a teenager and all you have is a room, you don't leave it looking like a hog pen till the weekend. And by the way, mamas, you need to teach your children to clean their room more than once a month. It would be good if you could clean it while you can use a broom instead of a shovel. It's all right to make your bed more than once a month. I mean, you are training them to be young men and young ladies one day that'll have a family. One person's compromise is exaggerated by the next generation in that family. Now, if you live like a donkey and your kids live like pigs, what's their kids going to live like? God's looking for busy people, not lazy, not slothful, not slobs. Yes, God picks us up out of the gutter to save us. But He saves us from the guttermost to the uttermost. I think Christians ought to clean up the gutter we live in. He looks for busy people. Busy. Busy. And by the way, busy doing what we ought to do. Not just what we want to do. There's enough time to clean your rooms, guys. Hey, and let me tell you something, Mom and Daddy. It wouldn't hurt you to teach your boy how to iron a shirt. Or to sew a button on. Of course, Mother, you'd have to learn yourself first. It wouldn't hurt one iota to teach them how to make spaghetti so they won't starve. God calls busy people, not lazy people. Not lazy people. Someone said, I wonder why nobody ever surrenders to preach out of our church. Well, they don't ever go soul winning. They don't ever visit. They don't come regularly. I mean, if you have a lazy church, God's not going to entrust His word with people He can't trust to be on time for Sunday school. And by the way, if you're not on time for Sunday school, you ought to get right with God about that. I mean, it's no badge of Christian character to constantly be late. God's looking for busy people. Brother Tom preached about slothfulness Sunday night. There's no place in God's program for lazy, slothful people. No telling what'd happen, ladies, if you'd cook your husband supper at night. Took a lot of courage, didn't it, brother? Your wife must cook supper. You'd have never said amen. Lazy people can become Christians, but they'll never become disciples of the Lord Jesus. They'll never be... Hello, Brother Funches. How you doing? Good to see you. It's old family night, okay? Home night. God's looking for busy people to become His disciples today. He's not searching for couch potatoes. God's not nearly as interested in how well you work the computer or how far you can go in the latest game. He is interested in people that'll want to learn and grow and will make time to spend with Him. Busy. He's searching out busy people. They had worked all night and they took time to clean their nets and get them ready for the next night fishing before they went home and ate and went to bed. Now, the fundamental principle of discipleship is found in several places. I'll give you just two of them. Look at Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. Jesus said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, wife and children, brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, you say, "Preacher, I've got to hate my loved ones." Well, the term there is a comparative term. It's not saying that we're not to love our family. What he's emphasizing is that our love for Jesus must be so much greater than our love for anybody else or anything else if we're going to be his disciple. That's the fundamental principle. Verse 33 of that same chapter. "So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." If you're not willing to put him before everything, he says, you can't be my disciple. And Mark 8, verse 34. Jesus said, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, deny himself. A lazy person is pampering himself. He is living for self. Now, the point I'm making is God has no place in his work as a disciple for lazy people. Are selfish people, are greedy people. Lazy people never fulfill the requirements for discipleship. Number three, to hear from God about his will for our life, we need to get out of the normal daily routine of our life so we can get along with him, alone with him. Look at verse number three. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, get the picture. Here was the daily routine of Simon Peter. He got up in the evening, ate, went down to the boat. They went out and went fishing. Now, they fished not for fun. That was their livelihood. That was their business. And they had fished all night. They'd come in the morning. They'd put their boats up on the shore. They'd clean the boats. They'd clean the nets, repair the nets, and have them ready to go out fishing the next evening. They'd go home. They'd eat. They'd do what they had to do around the house. They'd go to bed and get some sleep so they could get up and start all over. That was their routine. It's like a person that works the second or third shift. Or it's like me and you that work our regular daily routines. Well, Jesus interrupted his routine. And he allowed him to interrupt him. He didn't say, get out of my boat. My work day's over. I'm going home and go to sleep. He said, I have need of your boat. Thrust off a little from the shore. And he thrust off a little from the shore. And he preached out of the boat. Old Simon Peter sitting there with the oars, keeping it steady. Out of his normal routine. And then Jesus said, now launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a drought of fishes. Simon Peter had this special encounter with the Lord, but it was out of his regular routine. It would do you good sometime to just break away from your normal activity and get along with him. Hey, but that's the reason Sunday and Wednesday nights are so important. It's a break in the regular routine of the week. And you can get out and come apart with the Lord. It's the reason Sundays are so important. You get out of the regular routine. The fight on the freeway. The cutthroat attitudes at the workplace. And you come apart to spend some time with him. And let me say to you, it wouldn't hurt you from time to time to take a day or a few hours and just get along with him. Hey, young married couples or married couples that are going to this escape the next couple of days, the reason it benefits you so is not just because you get off work and you can go down there and smooch, but you get out of your routine in order to get along together with God and hear the word taught and instruction given. And let me tell you, my dear friend, if we're going to hear from God about his will for our life, we need to get out of the normal daily routine so we can get along with him. I can't tell you how many great decisions have been made in my life in the middle of the night, when I get up out of the normal routine of sleep and go in and get on my knees with God and spend time with Him. If you're going to be His disciple, you've got to be willing to get out of that regular routine. We need to interrupt the daily routine of our secular work and life and give time to God's Word and prayer. We need to interrupt our secular work week by attending a midweek church service, as well as our Sunday service given over to Him. We need to get out of our daily secular routine and give Him a chance to speak His will to us without Him having to hit us over the head with a 2x4 or use a car wreck to get our attention, or the loss of a job, or a trip to the hospital. Boy, it's a lot better just to come apart with Him instead of coming apart. God has something He wants to say to you. I'm talking about to you. Not just the priest, to you. Whether it be a young man like Jordan Pollock just starting out in the teen department, or whether it be an old codger about to graduate from the teen department, or whether it be a young married couple just starting out in your married life, or it's a couple of people that's been together for 40, 45, 50 years. God wants to say something to you. And it'd do us good to just get out of our daily routine once a while and just get along with Him. He wants to make disciples out of us. People who are learning and growing. Hey, by the way, may I suggest to every one of you who are married, you are not yet experts on marriage. Your marriage could be better, and you might learn something from the Word of God. Get out of our daily routine. Well, I've got to work. I got to pay those credit card bills. You need to interrupt your daily routine of charging on the credit card. Number four, having heard from God, Peter launched out into the deep and discovered the wonderful will of God as one of His disciples. Look at verse number four. And when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answered and said unto him, "Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I'll let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now, Simon had allowed God to interrupt his regular daily routine. And he was alone with God in the boat. And now the Lord, having used him, been with him, said, "Now launch out into the deep." And Peter is about to experience a blessing and a miracle like he's never seen before, just because he allowed the Lord to interrupt the daily, regular routine of his life. Now, I want you to know, God calls every Christian to discipleship. It is God's will that we learn and grow in our Christian life so we can live by the principles of God's Word and walk in His will. That is God's will for every Christian. Every Christian. Now, not all are called to be preachers or missionaries or even Sunday school teachers, but all are called to learn and grow and to live by the Word of God and in the will of God. That's the will of God for every Christian. And I'm here to tell you, if you'll just learn to trust Him and launch out into the deep, you're about to experience an adventure you're never going to get over. You're never going to be able to explain it. I'd love to have heard Simon Peter trying to explain the things that he experienced after he surrendered to follow Christ as one of his disciples. I'd like for him to try to explain to his grandchildren about those fish. Two boatfuls. The boats were about to sink. Well, they weren't out there. We'd fished there all night. I'm saying to you, God's got something for you better than you've experienced thus far if you're just willing to launch out in the deep with Him. Then, as one of His disciples, we must learn to walk by faith, believe, and trust His words and obey Him completely. Look at verse 4 through 7. I'm going to just read them together. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that the ship began to sink. Now, most Christians miss God's greatest blessings here at this point. We act throughout our Christian life as Peter acted at the beginning of his life as a disciple. Jesus told him to let down the nets. And Simon Peter said, fished out there all night. There's nothing out there. But at your word, I'll let down a net. Do you understand the measure of the miracle they saw was only with partial faith and partial obedience? I wonder what it would have been like if Peter said, hey, James and John, bring that boat and let down all the nets. No, they just let down one. Caught so many fish, it break. Called the others to help them, and they got what they had in the boats, filled up both boats, and they were overloaded and were about to sink. And he didn't completely do exactly what Jesus asked him to do. I wonder what our Christian life would be like if we'd learned to walk by faith. If we'd really believe God's word and obey Him. I wonder what we're missing in our marriage and in our life and in our business because we're not completely obeying God. Where are you holding back on God? Where have you chosen not to do exactly what God told you to do? What are you missing out? It may be what you're going through in your life is the result of you not completely obeying the Lord and His will for your life and His call to your life. Look at verse 8, 9, and 10. And when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, and at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Now, like Peter, James, and John, we'll be astonished at what God can do with us and for us if we'll just learn to trust Him and obey Him. The most wonderful and exciting days of our lives are ahead of us if we too we'll learn to trust and obey. If we'll just learn to believe this book and obey it. Now, to believe it and not obey it is sin. To know to do right and do it not, to him it is sin. We need to learn it and practice it. And I'm telling you, you can't imagine what God's got in store for us. And we have no right to expect His blessings on our lives when we choose to live our life our way and not His way. By the way, what has God done recently for you because you trusted and obeyed His word completely? What has He done in your life lately that's caused you to be astonished at His blessings? Well, let me wind this up. Peter, James, and John forsakes the greatest catch of fish in their life to follow Jesus and become a fisher of men. Look, if you will, verse 10 and 11. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch fish." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Now, He's asking them to be His disciples, to learn and grow in order to live by the Word of God and do His will in their life. Now, being His disciple may not mean that, it certainly may not mean that you become a preacher or a teacher or in full-time service. God's looking for faithful disciples in the home, amen, in the workplace, that are in the pew, that are followers and learners of Christ, serving as a layperson in the church. He's asking us to be His disciples. He's asking you and me to become a fisher of men, a soul winner, a witness, one who tells others about Jesus Christ. He may be asking you to be one of His preachers, or to be a missionary, or to be a teacher in the Sunday school. But regardless of what He asks, it is for our good that we obey and follow Him. The greatest things that's ever happened to us without Christ cannot be compared to what He has for us when we follow Him. Notice, Peter, James, and John, with the best catch of their life, the most miraculous catch of their life, pulled their boats to the shore, left boats, fish, and net to follow Jesus. Left it all because they suddenly realized what God had for them was greater than they could ever find in their personal business. I remember when God called me to preach. I quit my job. I had a career going in as an electromechanical technician in research and development with UNIVAC. Quit my job. Just bought a new house. Sold it to a man on an assumption, and I paid the legal fees to get it transferred over, just so we could be free of it to follow Jesus. Would I turn back? No. There's been a whole lot of boatloads of fishes since that day. What He's done for us and with us and through us and to us are beyond comprehension. I was there at that place where He met me and said, "Follow me. Follow me." I could have been like somebody here tonight that said, "No, I've got my own plans." I could be in the mess that someone here's in tonight because I chose not to follow Him. Oh no. He's speaking to someone tonight. Follow me. Follow me. I want you to be my disciple. Now, I'm not talking about surrendering to preach. I'm not talking about surrendering to teach. I'm talking about just coming to that place where you are determining in your life that you're going to be a student, a pupil of the Lord Jesus Christ, to learn and grow in the Word of God so you can live by it. It's hard to live by it if you don't know it. So you can practice the will of God. It's hard to practice the will of God if you don't know the Word of God. That's the starting point as one of His disciples. And He's got, hey, folks, He's got your life all planned out. It's better than your plans. And I'm here to tell you, things don't just happen by accident. They've been planned for us by the God of heaven if we'll learn to walk in His will. Things don't just happen to us who love God. They're planned by His own dear hand, then molded and shaped and timed by His clock. Things don't just happen. They're planned. We don't just guess on the issue of life. We Christians just rest in our dear Lord. We're directed by His sovereign will in the light of His holy word. We who love Jesus are walking by faith, not seeing one step that's ahead, not doubting one moment what our lot might be, but looking to Jesus instead. We praise our dear Savior for loving us so, for planning each care of our life, then giving us faith to trust Him for all the blessings as well as the strife. Things don't just happen to us who love God, to us who have taken our stand. No matter the lot, the course, or the price, things don't just happen, they're planned. And I want you to know God's got a plan for your life. But He's asking you to follow Him, to become a learner, a student, one who learns the Word of God so you can live by it and walk in His will. Will you also be His disciple? Father, thank You for the little Bible study tonight. Help us to have that desire in our heart to learn and grow. Help us, Father, that we might become truly one who denies himself, gives up our plans in order to follow You and accept Your will and Your plans for our life. Thank You for the instruction of Your Word. Thank You, Father, that the youngest and the least of us are important to You and that You have a wonderful plan for that life if we will follow You. Now, Lord, there's some of Your children here that know You, love You, believe You, but it's so easy for us to get into a routine that becomes a rut. And while we're in that rut, that routine, we never give You time to invoke Your will and Your plan upon our lives. Help us to stop. Help us to suspend some time with You. Help us to pull away from the daily routine that You might speak to us and reveal Your wonderful plan and will for our life. And then, Father, maybe there are some here that are battling the character issue of laziness. I pray, Father, that they'd kneel at an old-fashioned altar tonight and confess it as sin. For it is. It's flesh ruling over us. And we might ask You to help us to win the victory over laziness and slothfulness, that we might follow You and be blessed and used by the dear Savior.